3, 2, 1.
Welcome to It's Fabulous!
True personal stories.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And welcome back to another edition of Exfabula Radio on Lake Effect Weekend. I'm Rachel Owens, joined once again by Leah Delaney, Exfabula co-founder. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
And the theme for this week is...
And the beat goes on. So I know that everybody is starting to take a look back at 2018 and to see what worked and what didn't. And I place very special import on this, and I always have. It's about renewal and such, and, you know, what worked in 2018 and what didn't, and what kind of decisions did I make, and what were the things that happened around me that I had no control over, and how did I handle those? Like I said, it's been bittersweet. I've lost a handful of friends, two from cancer and one who battled with depression. And it's really, really put a lot of import on family and friends and how it all really comes back to that and how much you share with them and how connected you are with them. So we are going to start out today's show with a story I actually told. And we had an event, Exfabula did, celebrating our 10th season. And a bunch of us, the co-founders, got up and got to say our say. And since I've been so connected with radio over the past 10 years, I thought I would say a little something about Bruce Winter, who we all are dearly missing, especially at this time of the year. Mm-hmm. So let's listen to, sounds weird, but Leah Delaney's story, where I'm just saying a little note about our pal Bruce Winter.
I love radio. I always have loved radio, even as a child. And then growing up with Casey Kasem's America's Top 40, of which I still listen to in syndication today because it is the only place you're going to be able to hear a Dolly Parton B-side straight next to, like, the Shaft theme song and just be blown away. Like, this was a part of time at some point in our lives. And with that being said, you know, thank you, Ryan. I'm glad that we had that introduction. He was able to sort of intro Exfabula into the radio listening audience. And we worked with them for a while. And then Bruce Winter from WWM shortly after had tapped us and said, hey, what are you guys doing over there? You want to come speak to us for a while? Such a great opportunity to get on Milwaukee NPR. It was it was kind of a little tenuous in the beginning because what we did with WMSC is we had a script, and it was a half an hour script of a curated radio show where we would find stories from different events, put them together, and stick another umbrella of a theme over it. But it's all scripted. So at WMSC, I would just read the script, and it was very lovely, and it sounded like an elevator voice and such, and please go to your right, go to your left. Well, we took that business model, and we took it to WWM. So we took our hour-long script and we marched right into the studio and gave it to Bruce, and I had my script and I was ready for it, and he looked at it and he had that what stinks look, like his, you know, kind of like, what is this? Like, what is this robot work that we're doing here? But we read the script, he had his part, I had mine, and we started what was a one-hour show. And that was wonderful in a lot of ways, but I was really nervous. And it's funny that when we dropped the script and we just went, even though they're pre-recorded, we kind of went live in a sense where we were able to bounce off of each other. And it was great. I loved it. I still love it. But I go park somewhere downtown in the middle of like lunchtime hour, try to find a parking space, you know, weasel my way in, take that elevator at the Chase Building on Water in Wisconsin, up to the 7th floor, ding, elevator doors open, there's an open lobby, and to your right, always east, the glass doors to WWM were there, and 9 times out of 10, Bruce was sitting there tinking around on his phone, and then he'd see me. And then he would like do this majestic pirouette to the door to let me in, or he would start genuflecting. I mean, we were off to the races immediately because it was fun time USA with him always. I remember one time when I had a really hard time parking, but I made it happen. And I came up
to the elevator, ding, doors open. I look over, and him and one of his coworkers are like, kind of like talking, and they're pointing downstairs, and then they turn around, they see me, they open up the door, and he's like, oh my God, you should have saw this person park just now. And I was like, oh, were they a total dupe? And he's like, you betcha. And I was like, that was me. I completely like did love touches like on both bumpers because I was late and I needed to get in there. But so much levity with him and so much corniness too, like quoting Airplane to Ernie Kovacs to having all these weird conversations about music. And then he would press record. And it would start out, and here's another ex-Fabula Radio Hour. My name is Bruce Winter, and alongside me is co-founder Leah Delaney. You brought some stories, and so on. We always knew he was sick. Ex-Fabula knew, and we kept it a secret. So there were times when I would get an email saying from Rachel Owens that she was going to do the recording that week. And there was always a moment of panic, because over the course of the past 9 years, it's like, what happened? And so I would get there, have a conversation with her, hug her, and say, okay, is Bruce okay? What's going on? But he always came back, without question. And not only that, but God dang it, he's so freaking funny. And so dark, but funny and irreverent, just nonstop with him, just wonderful. On Wednesday, I found out last week that he passed away. On Thursday, I had to go in and do my normal recording. So I did. And, you know, I heard on Wednesday that he passed away, and I thought, oh, this is horrible, logically. But it didn't really sink in. But I parked again over on Water in Wisconsin, and I took that elevator up, and all of a sudden it started digging further and further up, and I thought, I don't even want this elevator to stop. I started getting a little panicky. And sure enough, it dinged. The doors opened, and I walked out and fell out into the lobby, and I just lost it. And I looked over, and he wasn't on that couch, and he wasn't pirouetting at me. He wasn't genuflecting. I was like, that's it. It's never going to happen again. And it struck me like never before, like a ton of bricks, you know? And that's what happens with loss. For the first time you're in a recognizable spot with somebody, and they're not there anymore, boom. So this whole thing with storytelling and such, it's amazing how, like, I think that over the course of the past, like, 10 seasons, we've come to learn so much as an organization. Listening to you guys tell us your stories, seeing what works, what doesn't, knowing that storytelling is so wonderful for activism. It's an art. But when somebody passes away, those stories that you know that that person is not going to be able to contribute to more stories in their life is so, it's monumental. And there's a moment of desperation I think we all feel when somebody passes away that we just want to keep hearing more because we need to understand all facets of that person. And that's kind of like where I'm at right now with this. He was a good friend to us. He's community-minded. He was a loving, prickly pear of a human being. And I'm going to miss him dearly. And I just wanted to throw it up there and just say thank you, Bruce, for everything. You've been wonderful. Thank you.
And that was a story I told, basically saying goodbye to Bruce and thanking him for his time that he gave us. I can't say this enough about what I ended on in that story, which was it's so important to reach out to people. And it's so important to listen to people. Actively listening to their stories and their thoughts and such. And sometimes we feel like we just don't have any time for anybody except for ourselves. And we really have to take a beat and remember what this is all about. Mm. I don't want to sound like a new age hippie, but it's so true.
And yeah, that it was a beautiful story. So thank you for sharing that with us. Yeah. I feel the same way. This year for me personally has been similar, where you just feel like, man, there is no time to waste. You have to appreciate those around us. And some of my own fond memories of Bruce are us just sitting by the window, as you described him, when you arrived that day, looking out the window by our offices and looking into the Milwaukee River and just kind of chatting about some random things. But then you find yourself bonding over those moments. And it can take just a few minutes, but boy, yeah, storytelling is something that obviously he took very seriously. And again, we're very grateful that we have this connection now because of him and because of you and Ex Fabula.
So. Oh, man. Yeah. Truer words. Seriously. Thank you, Rachel. We still have another story we'd like to share. This second teller's name is Mark Weinberg, and he told the story about his loss, and basically lost and found, I want to call it. Here's his Generation Story Slam story.
I had no intention of telling a story today, but I had lunch with my 92-year-old mother and realized that sooner or later we become just stories. So I decided to start early. As I said, my mother's 92. My father was 53 when he died of pancreatic cancer. We were in the hospital room with him, and he hadn't moved much for a day, and he summoned all his strength, and he motioned to my mother to come over, and she bent down, and he whispered in her ear, "I love you." And then he slipped into a coma, and the next day, his breathing slowly became more labored. The distance between breaths increased. And once we thought he was gone, but he took a big deep breath and he reached out his hand sort of like to say, "Oh, is that what it's about?" And he smiled and then he was gone. It wasn't my father in the bed anymore. Jump forward 2 years later, I'm in the hospital again. I am next to my then wife waiting for the birth of my daughter. I was raised in the Jewish tradition. And in that tradition, when a child is born, they're named after the most recent person who passed away in the family. Well, my wife was from a different tradition. We decided not to do that. Not on a first name, on a middle name. And so we waited for a very short time, and my daughter rushed into the world. And Rachel was born, but because she rushed so quickly, she appeared a little bit drowsy, and it took her a while to breathe. And so the distance between her breaths was very great, but it got shorter and shorter and shorter until she was breathing normally. And the doctor handed her to me, and I looked down, and my father looked back at me. Not somebody that looked like my father, not the face of someone related to my father, but my father. I looked at her mother, she looked at Rachel, my daughter, and saw the same thing. And when I looked back at Rachel, my father was gone, and she was there. My father's name was Norman, and he was the glue that held our family together. He was surrogate father for everyone. He was caregiver. He was the person you went to. And he taught us all a lot. My daughter shares a lot with my father. She's been a guide for children, a teacher, a school administrator. Now she administers a project that helps people deal with the problems related to Alzheimer's. My father was Norman. My daughter's middle name is Nera. Ner is the Hebrew word for candle or light. My father was a light in this world. My daughter is a light in this world. And I'm lucky enough to live between those two generations, and I try to duplicate what they do in spirit every day. Thank you.
And that was Mark Weinberg with his story that he told at our Generation Story Slam.
Wow, that's very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Definitely gives you goosebumps.
Yeah. Wow. So we're saying thank you and goodbye to 2018 as well, it feels like. That means we're also starting a new year, though.
So if anyone's interested in partaking, maybe for the first time, maybe that's your New Year's resolution. You are actually going to tell a story at one of our slams in which we're there for you, Milwaukee, with open arms. So go to xfabula.org for all story-related news and activities in Milwaukee.
Time to reflect and to look forward to a new year. So thank you for making our 2018 a little bit sweeter. And thank you again for coming in. We look forward to 2019 with Ex Fabula.
Happy New Year, Rachel.